Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
And so to be able to reach people that have gotten a twisted form of a Bible-based gospel in the past, it's almost a whole lot easier to reach someone who the gospel is brand new to.
Hello, friend. We're glad you're here today to join us on Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. What does it take to be a missionary today? Well, it may take someone just like you, with the unique skills and abilities God gave you, to do your part in the Great Commission. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead, to tell you more.
Well, thank you, Ron. Yeah, friends, thank you for joining us today here on the Mission Compass. Just wanted to add my thanks to what Ron said. Always appreciate being able to talk about missions with you, talk about serving God. And here's the thing about the Mission Compass. We're not just talking to people that have gone overseas, sold everything, and are going to live the rest of their life and die somewhere in a foreign country after having had to learn the language and the culture and so on. Missions can be done right here where you are, in your local church, volunteering with an agency to the homeless, to kids. The Great Commission is Acts 1:8. Jesus talks about, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Your hometown, the next region over, next culture over, and then around the world. You have a part to play. I'm going to be talking with Bonnie Sala this week. Every week she brings a devotional. We're going to be talking about the assessment tool that Guidelines has developed to kind of just help you fit in. Where do I fit? What are the giftings? What are my interests? And then how can God use me in the Great Commission? You can even look now as you're listening to the program, go to guidelines.org, go to that assessment tool and be thinking about it now, looking where you fit. All that to say, every quarter, we send out a prayer calendar, and one's going to be coming out beginning of March, so just in about a week from now, with prayer requests for all of our partner ministries. Well, I guess not all. We have a lot of them. Some of our partner ministries around the world, a lot of our staff, a lot of our volunteers, their personal needs. We really believe in the power of prayer here at Galcom. But in that prayer calendar, I have a little letter to you. And if you'd like to get this, go to our website, galcom.org, and a little pop-up will pop up. And you'll be able to subscribe by email or by old-fashioned snail mail to get our newsletter. And I have an appeal there explaining why we call people that send us money our partners. They're not donors, and you'll have to subscribe to get the whole letter. But what I want to encourage you is to be a full partner with us. Don't just listen to our radio program. Maybe don't just pray along. And if you give, God bless you and thank you, but don't just do that. Look at how we can work together. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says we're part of a body. We all need each other. We all have a part to play. You know somebody. Maybe your church is going on a missions trip somewhere. We'd love to come alongside and help you by providing some of our solar-powered radios and audio Bibles. You're probably going to a place, maybe you don't speak the language. Well, somebody does, and we probably have a recording of it. We probably got audio Bibles in the language where you're going, or maybe our partners at GRN. We spoke with Mark Griffin a couple weeks back, the Canadian Director of Global Recordings, and they've got almost 7,000 different languages where they have a gospel presentation. They've done their part. We can put on a player. And if you're going somewhere, or your church, maybe not even you, but maybe the youth group from your church is going to do a March break trip somewhere. Let's partner together. Let's work together. Maybe you're doing some other sort of outreach in your church. Maybe your church supports another missionary. They just visited your church and they said, hey, you know, we're doing this. And you think, you know what? They could use some fixed tune radios and audio Bibles. I should connect them with Galcom. That's what partnership is all about. We'd love to have you working alongside with us in the Great Commission. So go to our website, galcom.org. Subscribe to our newsletter, prayer calendar, read that article, find out how you can get involved and read some examples of people that have done that. And then let's get involved in the Great Commission. So we've got a great program. As I mentioned, Bonnie Sala is going to share from God's Word, going to share a testimony from the Ministry of Guidelines, talk about the resources developed there. And then Kenny Jackson, Director of the Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, gives us an update. We've done a whole pile of work on First Nations territories in Canada, and people have been asking me, what's going on? So Kenny's going to join us and share. But before all that, just a little word here about Galcom.
Stories have the power to save our life, not only eternally, but physically. Galcom International presents Stories of the Great Commission.
One woman was trying to commit suicide. The husband had run away from her. and family members were not supporting her. So she decided to commit suicide and stood on a chair to put the rope around her neck. Pre-tuned radio was on. This same pastor was preaching on the radio station. When she heard the message that was preached, that woman took away the rope from her neck and walked to the radio station. She was canceled. She's now a very strong Christian.
Discover why your story matters and how you can help fulfill the Great Commission right where you are. Learn more at galcom.org, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Galcom International. Make waves.
When all you've ever known is poverty, abuse, and addiction, where would you look for hope? I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. Fado came from a poor neighborhood with very little hope for escaping the cycle of despair that was all he'd ever known. He didn't believe there was anything better for him than a temporary high and saw no reason to work for tomorrow when he had no hope for today. Writer C.S. Lewis talked about our struggles with wanting too little for ourselves, saying, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea." God has a special invitation for hopeless people. He wants us to see Him and know Him for who He really is. The Bible says that God is able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think through His mighty power at work in us. When we're incapable of dreaming, when we don't even know what to pray, God offers His strength. He tells us He longs to transform us and take us far beyond what we might even ask for. The Bible sets out how to respond to the God of hope like this. Say the welcoming word to God, "Jesus is my master," embracing body and soul, God's work of doing in us what He did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting Him to do it for you. That's salvation. That's the invitation of the God who is able. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, for sharing again from God's Word. We love having the Reset Devotional in the middle of our Missions Compass program. We need to get built up in good, sound biblical teaching so that we can be sent out as missionaries. And friends, you're qualified. That's what we're all about here on the Mission Compass. You are qualified somehow, some way to serve God. Bonnie, you've been translating the Guidelines Devotionals into 25 different languages. Do you have any encouraging stories for us from what's happening around the world?
Absolutely do. Today, I have a story from the country of Algeria. So think Muslim-majority country. Christians need to be secret Christians there. This woman said, "Knowing Jesus Christ has shifted my fear and depression into joy, rest, and peace." She says, "My name is Amal. I'm a 38-year-old Algerian woman. I work in the security forces in Algeria. I am a newcomer to the Christian faith, a faith that has greatly changed my life to better and ignite my heart and illuminate my mind. It shifted my fear, darkness, and depression into comfort, light, peace, and joy. A faith in which I experience the true God and His love, fatherhood, and a changing, healing love. So I am eager to take a further step to get baptized."
Wow.
And then she goes on to say that she's contacted her counselor. So the ministry that we work with that has an online radio, online broadcasting, has counselors that work one-on-one with someone who makes an inquiry, who sends a text message. And so this woman is being discipled, a discipleship group, where I study the Word of God with great joy and commitment.
Incredible. That is a big step. Getting baptized in a Muslim majority nation, there's no waffling. You have identified with Jesus Christ as a Christian. That is a huge step. And the impact that you're having, that she would take that step on, that's incredible.
You know, Tim, one of the most moving things that I've experienced as I've been in ministry with Guidelines is watching a video that it was a secret video that was shared with me. You know, it can't be posted anywhere online. And it's a video of secret baptisms throughout the Muslim world. Algeria was one of the countries. And these are where a very small group of believers will gather in secret in an apartment, all the shades down, and do baptisms in the bathtub or in like what we would call a kiddie pool, you know, blown up in the living room. And it's so meaningful because, as our partners have explained to me, when someone who has been a Muslim, they really believe that when they go down into the water of baptism, their life as a Muslim is over and they come up as a new life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And they will risk their lives to go through with the command of baptism. So that is a beautiful thing.
I've got chills. Friends, if you want to get involved, if you're on the sidelines saying, you know what, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of people coming to faith in Christ. Go to guidelines.org. Scroll down a bit on the page. There's all sorts of resources there for you. But what I want to point you to is a box that says, what is God's calling for your life? Find your missions role. Bonnie, you guys have set up an incredible tool for people to find out where they fit in the Great Commission. Friends, follow that through. Find out where you fit. What are some of the categories, Bonnie?
Well, there are many different ways that we are gifted, but we all are called to share the gospel. I am an amplifier. I love getting on the radio with you and, or, you know, and telling people about what God is doing, about what the opportunities are. Other people, you might be an ally. You're someone that just wants to jump in and pitch in. Do you need the chairs arranged? Do you need those envelopes stuff? You know, other people have the gift of prayer. They really are burdened to seriously pray. They are prayer warriors. There's at least three different additional gifted groups. And so, yes, please hop on over to our guidelines.org website and or missions.guidelines.org and take the missions multiplier assessment and see how God has uniquely made you to join together in giving the gospel to all.
Yeah, and then join us here. Join Bonnie and I in the Great Commission. God bless you, Bonnie. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friends, we're glad you joined us here on the Mission Compass. We don't normally get a lot of requests for guests, but in the last little while, I've had a few people contact me and say, hey, Tim, whatever happened to the work you were doing on Canada's First Nations territories? And I realized, yeah, it's been about a year since we talked to any of our friends working with the NEFC. So I thought I'd go right to the top. Their director, Kenny Jackson, joins us on the road somewhere in Canada's West. Kenny, great to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you.
So I caught you on the road. You're somewhere between Manitoba and Alberta. Are you in Saskatchewan then? Are you, did you cross the border yet?
Yeah, we're in Saskatchewan, kind of country pavement here. Heading west. We'll be going through Prince Albert here in about an hour.
Incredible. Let's talk about the radio ministry. Now, NEFC is much bigger than just the radio ministry, but give us an update. How many stations are there now? How many people do you think you're reaching?
That's an interesting question. Maybe I'll just back up the comment you made there. NEFC is bigger than just radio stations, and that's very true. For those of you listening who are not familiar with Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, we've been around for about 52 years. We just celebrated 50th anniversary back in 2021. Oh, that makes 53 years now. Okay. Coming up on 53 years in April. And it's a group of 18 native churches. We have one church plant that's coming into its own, be recognized as a church this spring. So that'd be 19. And that's scattered from British Columbia over to Quebec. So we're quite widely distributed. We have the radio stations right now. We are reaching about 30 communities with 26 radio stations. And a number of those, Galcom has had a significant hand in helping to put together the tower and to really get it on a roll. And we have totally appreciated Kevin and Lynn Baker being kind of lent to us for a while. It was so good to have them. And to have them be able to really help us move the radio programming ahead. The program itself, CJTL, you can get to it by going to cjfc.ca. That is our website. And you get in there and you click on the CJTL radio link and you'll be there. And you can listen to streaming audio, which is 24/7, 366.
It's a leap year. That's right.
We are really thankful for what the Lord is doing through radio. And to be able to have a 24-hour witness in places that, boy, you know, some of them are hard to get into. Some of the places that our radio stations are at were brought in by the Vatican Council and Chief of Council, and not so much a church or the people. It was the leadership that said, we want that. And I am just excited by those type of situations, just because it is a 24-hour witness in places where the gospel is not generally that welcome.
Mm.
So that's a little bit about what we're doing. We've been talking with Ron. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but spelled H-U something.
I'll help you.
And he got a hold of us a while back regarding the high Arctic and what we would be looking at for putting radio stations up there. And so that is something that we are in the midst of making some plans, decisions, choices, and going forward with. And we're looking at probably this summer, this fall, getting the radio station into Arviet, Nunavut.
Yes.
So I am thankful for that. But there are other places up there also that we would also like to be able to put 24-hour gospel programming into a local radio station. All of our broadcasts are limited range FM signal, and they can go anywhere from 5 mile radius. If we put the tower a little higher and boost up the power on the unit sending it, can get up to 30, 35 miles max.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not very many situations we go that far.
Yeah.
I think up in Waskaganish, Quebec,
yep,
basically have a hunting camp that's about 20 miles away from the community, and they wanted to be able to hit that. So that's what we're working on up there, to be able to provide gospel radio, not only to the community, but out to the hunting camp also.
Yeah. Just for our friends listening, you mentioned a number of names. So Kevin and Lynn Baker, Kevin's our tower rigger, travels the world putting up towers. And at a moment's notice, he's traveling out with the NEFC team there, putting in stations, putting up towers. Mention another guy, Ron Huning, longtime volunteer partner with us here at Galcom. He's traveled all over the place putting his stations with us. And this is a great partnership. Glad Tidings Church in Vancouver, BC, made a church plant in Arviat. One of their members contacted us, and then Ron, just God put it on his heart that this is something that he needed to volunteer to do. Now, he's got a full-time job, a family, everything going on, but he's just grabbed onto this project in Arviat to make sure it gets done. So he's been talking to Kenny a lot about getting the gospel up into Canada's far north. So this is really exciting, the coverage, 30 communities and more coming. But Kenny, tell us, you mentioned something that kind of caught my ear. 24-hour gospel witness in places where the gospel is not often welcome. We know in Canada, we know the history with residential schools. We know the abuse from the hands of the church. So there's a difficult history. But do you have a story of someone maybe resistant to the gospel, and whether it's through the radio or through the work of NEFC, your churches that you're running, someone who, when they meet Jesus Christ, not all the other stuff, not all the church baggage and so on, but when they meet Jesus, that their life has changed?
Well, absolutely. You know, I think about a friend of mine, Delbert Shulliff. He lives down in the Edmonton area. He's from the Driftpile First Nation. That's up in northern Alberta. And they'll come to the Lord. Boy, he was not a good guy, you know. And God got a hold of him. And I am just so thankful for the way that God changed his life from a lot of drugging and drinking and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with that. And this really brought him to a place where he is today, and recognized as a spiritual leader in his community, and just really going forward with that. One of the things that we do in Native Evangelical Fellowship is we license clergy. And Delbert came on with us, I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago, applied for individual associate membership. And with that, he also applied to become one of the licensed NEFC clergy. And so he'd gone from where he was before to a guy that recognized by the government as a preacher who can, perform weddings and do funerals and all that kind of stuff. I'm just thankful for where God has brought him to today. And we talk every couple of days, and it's just always encouraging to hear where he's at and what he's doing and how God is using him.
What's the biggest challenge that someone like Dilbert or yourself would have when you bring the gospel to a First Nations territory? What are the biggest challenges? You know, you talked about resistance. And you mentioned about drug use, drinking use. What is it that you're really having to bridge that gap with the gospel? What's the big challenge?
Well, when I think about what the challenges are nowadays in bringing the gospel to our First Nations people, there are significant ones. One in particular you hit on a little while ago. The whole role of the church, and I'm pretty careful to kind of, if you're going to mention the church and the impact that that's had on Native peoples through residential school, you do have to delineate who exactly is the church and who were the ones that ran the residential schools. And some ways we find that we have to kind of bite the bullet for other church organizations that were involved in residential schools, because people tend to lump everybody into the same mold. But looking at the Roman Catholic residential schools and the Anglican Church, United Church, those were the main ones in Canada. And we're not part of any one of those, but by the same token, every time somebody says the church, we're lumped in there. And so to be able to reach people that have gotten a twisted form of a Bible-based gospel in the past, now a twisted gospel, boy, it's almost a whole lot easier to reach someone who the gospel is brand new to than somebody who's, okay, yeah, I've heard that before, I know what that's all about. And when in actuality, what they are defining as this is the gospel, well, is not a true picture. So that is one of the things that is difficult. Another one is in the area of syncretism. And this is where there's a collision or intersection of the gospel and traditional cultural ways. And is there a collision? Well, you know, I'm a plain speaker that loves my culture, I love my language, but you know, when it comes to who's holding the trump card, is it the gospel or culture? And that would be kind of one of the hard things about reaching our people with the gospel, is just really knowing what part of culture are we able to actually keep and goes good with the gospel, and what part are not that compatible with the gospel. So we need to be very, wise in how to handle that. Mm-hmm. You ask, what's the hardest thing? Well, that's the hardest thing right now.
I really appreciate you giving me your time. I've done radio interviews with somebody sitting in a hospital bed. I sat in a parked car at a hotel parking lot as someone was about to get on a plane. This is the first time I've ever interviewed something as they're driving down the highway.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. We'll continue this conversation next week on Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's galcom, spelled galcom.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We would love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.